the Chicago Theater of the Air. Produced by Marion Clare, conducted by Robert Trendler, written and directed by Jack Lafondre, Mutual presents the Chicago Theater of the Air Summer Series, a gala hour of music and drama starring Nancy Carr and Earl Wilkie, and our guest of the evening to be presented as our 10th career performance artist of 1950, baritone Olga Brazis of Chicago. During this hour, Colonel Robert R. McCormick, distinguished editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, will continue his special feature called History and the Song. Dramatic interpretations will be by Marion Clare and yours truly, Everett Clark. Our program this evening opens with Nancy Carr and the chorus singing, I'll Follow My Secret Heart.
I will follow my secret heart.
I'll keep my dreams apart till I find you.
Chicago Theater of the Air Chorus, and the favorite from the folk music of America, Me and My Little Banjo.
Me and my
little little banjo.
Singing along and a singing a song and a drum and my banjo to you.
Again, our brilliant young soprano star, Miss Nancy Carr, who is to be Mrs. Leonard Keller 2 days hence, and the beautiful love song, Chère Nuit, Dearest Night.
it is our pleasure to introduce a special Chicago Theater of the Air feature presented each week by Colonel Robert R. McCormick, distinguished editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, noted world traveler and historian, and devoted American patriot. History and the Song. The songs our people have sung through the years actually represent a musical chronicle of our nation's development. For as music goes hand in hand with life itself, so music goes hand in hand with history. A factual review of our history and the song is presented each week by Colonel McCormick, assisted by the noted folk singer Earl Wilkie, the chorus and the orchestra. Tonight's subject, Tales of the Tall Timber, the story of our pioneer lumberjacks and the conquest of the great forests. Ladies and gentlemen, by special transcription, Colonel Robert R. McCormick.
Probably our nation will never again produce a replica of the old-time American lumberjack. This notorious tiger of the timber called himself a shanty boy because the place he called home was a shanty in the woods. In his own words, his life was dedicated to letting some daylight into these swamps, and he did let daylight in. 3,000 miles of it from Maine to Washington. The American lumberjack pitted his strength against a vast labyrinth of tall timber and came out victorious, hacking and sawing trillions of feet of lumber, the bulwark of a growing nation. It was an American lumberjack who gave birth to the greatest of American legends, the legend of Paul Bunyan. In the shadow of the tremendous tree he had to tackle, the lumberjack was an insignificant David facing a mighty Goliath. Against such tremendous odds, the shanty boy pitted a monumental figment of his imagination, incomparable Paul Bunyan, a fanciful figure whose size and prowess matched the gigantic job. Against such tremendous odds, it was a great comfort and relief to have Paul around. According to the lumberjacks themselves, Paul Bunyan was born down in Maine. When he was only 3 weeks old, Paul rolled around so much in his sleep that he knocked down 4 square miles of standing timber, and the government got after his folks and told them they'd have to move away. When he was only 7 months old, he picked up a cross-cut saw and sawed the legs off his dad's bed. He was destined to be a great logger, and a great logger he was. During his fabulous lifetime, with the assistance of the American lumberjack, of course, Paul Bunyan cut enough timber to build a 4-foot walk from here to the moon. The day Paul Bunyan was created in the mind of the American lumberjack was a fortunate day, for without him, without the countless jokes about Paul's achievements, without Paul's come on for the greenhorns, our nation's foundation might never have been laid. Without Paul, the raw materials might never have been available. But even with Paul at his side, the American lumberjack needed something else to lighten the tremendous load. He needed the inspiration of song, and borrowing melodies from hearsay or memory, he made up his own words as his axe left the wake of fallen giants.
Oh, a shantyman's life is a wearisome life, although some think it void of care. Swinging an axe from morning till night in the midst of a forest so drear. Lying in the shanty bleak and cold, while the cold, stormy, wintry winds blow. And as soon as the daylight does appear, to the wild woods we must go. Oh, the cook rises up in the middle of the night, saying, hurrah, brave boys, it's day. Broken slumbers oft times are past, as the cold winter night whiles away. Had we rum, wine, or beer, our spirits for to cheer, as the day so lonely do dwine. Oh, a glass of any stone while in the woods alone, for to cheer up a troubled mind.
The American Lumberjack song went a long way towards making bearable his long hours, low pay, bad food, and months of isolation in the woods. After 12 to 14 hours of work in sub-zero weather, his song helped greatly in keeping taut nerves from breaking. At night in his lonesome shanty, the pioneer lumberjack sat on the deacon seat in an atmosphere of tobacco smoke and profanity and eased his mind with song. The deacon seat was a board extending from the lower tier of bunks and running square or oblong around the shanty. From this primitive deacon seat, many a tale has been told and many a song sung. It was on a deacon seat. Some say it was in Canada, others claim Michigan at its origin, that one of the best known of the lumberjack songs was created. It's a song that tells of a great piling up of logs in a river and the heroism of a young foreman named Monroe. The song is called The Jam on Gary's Rock.
Come all ye two-born shanty boys, wherever you may be. Come sit ye on the deacon's seat and listen unto me. I'll sing the jam on Gary's Rock, and a hero you should know. The bravest of all shanty boys, the foreman, young Monroe. T'was on a Sunday morning ere the daylight did appear. The logs were piling mountain high, we could not keep them clear.
Cheer up, my river men,
we leave
your heart
of woe. We'll break the dam on Gary's Rock, right foreman, young Monroe. They had not picked off many till Monroe to them did say, I must send you up the drive, my boys, for the jam will soon give way. It carried on the boiling flood, our foreman, young Monroe.
No one has ever been able to satisfactorily prove the locale of Gary's Rock, and the foreman of the song, young Jack Monroe, who perished when he hauled away the key log to break the jam, had been called both Canadian and American. The importance of the song, however, lies in the fact that the pioneer lumberjack was ever close to death. Without warning, a driver might be ground under the runners of a sled out of control on an icy hill. A good axeman or swamper might meet sudden death at a slight change in the wind, sends a tree falling in the wrong direction. On the river, bad judgment at the rollways might bring tons of logs crushing down on the lumberjack. And the men who rode the whirling, twisting logs down the spring freshets toward the mill might disappear without warning. It was usually small streams that carried the long drives in the spring, streams that were filled with rapids, rocks, and falls. When a jam occurred, thundering logs piled up end on end, and the danger was greatest. It was up to the river man to scatter over the jam, tugging and hacking, trying to find the log holding the others back, the key log. Once the key log was pried loose, thousands of logs would tumble end over end with the force of the entire river behind them. The men who pried the key log loose had to run for their very lives, skipping and careening, slipping across the leaping logs, hoping to make the river's bank and depending on their daring and sure-footedness for survival. Anyone who went under had no chance. They found him, they'd hang his boots on the limb of a big pine tree as a memorial. Usually he was never found. The hero of the jam on Gary's Rock is probably a mythical hero representing all the loggers who have gone under as the key log drifted clear. In the history of our pioneer lumberjack, young Monroe lives everywhere. In Canada, New York, Pennsylvania, Maine, or Michigan. In Oregon, Washington, or California. Wherever a tree has fallen in the history of our progress, the spirit of our pioneer lumberjack lives on. It's a spirit unafraid of anything that walks or crawls or flies. The spirit of Paul Bunyan, who rolled around in his sleep when he was 3 weeks old and knocked down 4 square miles of standing timber. It's the spirit of a brave man who faced the tall timber with an axe in his hand and a song on his lips. It's the spirit that dwells eternally in every board and plank in our nation, in every piece of furniture, even in the newsprint of our daily papers. The spirit of the pioneer lumberjack dwells everywhere within the structure of our republic. It's comforting to know that Paul Bunyan is ever near. waiting to see us through any task that lies before us. The bigger and the more impossible, the better.
They walked on Clover Shady Bank one evening last July. A mother of a sandy boat and also was a cry. Driving saw logs on the Plover, and you will never get your pay. Why didn't you stay upon the farm and feed the ducks and hens, and drive the pigs and sheep each night and put them in their pen? Then to drive saw logs on the Plover, and you will never get your pay. Now all young men take this advice, if e'er you wish to roam, be sure and kiss your mother before you leave your home. And a drive saw logs on the Plover, and you will never get your pay.
By special transcription, Colonel Robert R. McCormick, distinguished editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, has presented another chapter in his weekly Chicago Theater of the Air feature called History and the Song, featuring the noted American folk singer Earl Wilkie. Free copies of tonight's episode, titled Tales of the Tall Timber, may be obtained by writing to the Mutual Broadcasting System, Chicago 11, Illinois. Next week, Colonel McCormick will continue his History and the Song feature with the saga of Casey Jones, a tribute to our railroad pioneers. Don't miss History and the Song with Colonel Robert R. McCormick. The premiere performance of an original composition by our conductor, Robert Trendler. Its title, Enchantment. Thank you. Again tonight, this beautiful theme introduces a musical dramatic vignette called Music and the Mood, a specially transcribed feature in which Marion Clare and I, through dramatic interpretation, endeavor to portray some of the drama and romance of the world's great music. Tonight, based on American Indian music, we present for your pleasure The Legend of the Sun and Moon.
By the will of the Great Spirit, I was born Pretty Leaf, daughter of Big Tree, mighty chief of the tribe of the moon. I remember the young, beautiful princess of the moon, favorite of all the young braves of my tribe. But alas, I was to look for love beyond my own people. And I was to find my love in the far distant tribe of the sun. Against the law of my tribe, which prohibits intertribal marriage, and against the will of my own father, I found my love in the tribe of the sun. The young prince of the sun, the fearless young brave whom men called Light in the East. He was my lover.
My pretty Leaf, for your heart which I hold dear above all else, I defy the laws of our people. The only law I recognize is the law of the Great Spirit. And he has spoken.
Yes, Light in the East. I have heard the Great Spirit. During long nights when I cannot sleep, he has told me of the wedding of the sun and moon, when one passes into the shadow of the other.
This he has told me too. This wedding of the sun and moon is called an eclipse. And all the world pauses to wonder at this strange ceremony high in the heavens.
I am born of the moon, and you are the sun, Light in the East. It is right for us to love. But I am frightened. If we're found together by your people or mine...
I know, but they shall not find us. Together we'll find some far-off valley where the Shalimar flows eastward to the sea. There will we start a tribe of our own, my little princess of the moon.
Brave Light in the East, for you I forsake all. The truth in your eye and the strength of your hand shall be my courage. With you I face tomorrow unafraid.
Look before you, little Leaf. Gaze once more upon the tranquil waters of the Minnetonka. It was upon these very banks that once we met.
I remember light in the east. I shall never forget. But now we must say our last farewell to these waters.
Yes. Before the moon rises higher in the heavens, we must leave the Minnetonka far behind us. Never to return.
Wait. Light in the east. Look. We are discovered.
What? Oh, a circle of lights. The torches of our people.
Well, there's no escape. No escape for us now. They will part us forever. And there will be torture. Torture.
Pretty leaf, look at me.
Yes, light in the east. I look into your eyes, and I find courage.
There is one escape, pretty leaf. Together we shall walk into the deep blue waters of the Minnetonka. There we shall find our happy hunting ground and dwell forevermore with the Great Spirit. Are you afraid, pretty leaf?
No, I am not afraid, light in the east. Give me your hand, the hand of strength. The Minnetonka brought us together. The Minnetonka shall keep us together. Always. By the will of the Great Spirit, I was born Pretty Leaf, daughter of Big Tree, mighty chief of the tribe of the moon. By the will of the Great Spirit, I loved Light in the East, son of Great Fire, mighty chief of the tribe of the sun. By the grace of the Great Spirit, we are one, Light in the East and I. The sun and the moon are one forevermore. And we look down on our father's land of the sky-blue waters and forgive. We are happy here in our wigwam in the sky and pray that all young braves and maidens who love as we loved are happy too.
And her eyes, they are near.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Theater of the Air again presents Career Performance, the thrilling feature of this summer series, which offers a weekly opportunity for deserving young vocalists to be heard and judged by our nationwide audience and to compete for the coveted prizes awaiting the career artist or artists who receive the greatest response from our listeners. These prizes include an appearance with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra during the 1950-51 season, an appearance at Chicago's Grant Park Concerts during 1951, a television appearance, an appearance with the famous Midwest radio program, The Northerners, and the contract to sing major roles in the 1950-51 Chicago Theater of the Air operetta and grand opera season. Tonight, we have a young baritone as our career performance guest, and here to introduce him is our First Lady of the Chicago Theater of the Air, by special transcription, Miss Marion Clare.
Tonight, we have as our career performance guest, Mr. Algird Brazis, a rising young baritone who is well known and very popular here in his native city of Chicago. Born of Lithuanian parentage, Mr. Brazis has received all of his vocal training in this city and has been a member of Chicago Opera Companies since 1944, in which year he won the Midwest auditions for his first operatic role. More recently, Mr. Brazis has been a member of the San Carlo and the New York City Center Opera Companies. One of the highlights of his career was his tour of Lithuania with the Chicago Pirmin Choir. He is known to Midwestern listeners through his many local radio appearances and has appeared in concert with many of the Metropolitan Opera stars. It is our hope that his coast-to-coast career performance this evening may promote him to national recognition as a star in his own right. With our best wishes for his success, we present Mr. Algird Brazis.
As the first work in his career performance this evening, Algird Brazis sings Journey's End.
Ain't it so terrible, well, oh Lord? Ain't it so terrible, well, oh Lord? Where's their quiet? Hating and lying, the shouting and crying, and shooting and dying. Where's their pity? Where's their love? Oh, Lord. A place called Journey's End, a place called Heaven too, where we are all each other's friend, and there ain't no work to do. Why, thank you, Lord, thank you. That's very encouraging. Oh, that you're telling me of. Well, there ain't no creed or race, and all is brotherly love. What's that you say, Lord? I've got to spread the brotherly love down here to the poor sinners before I gets the call. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. Use the boss. Maybe this world ain't bad at all. I'll patiently wait till I get the call. I'll find quiet. I'll find a peace. Oh, Lord. And preaching the gospel am teaching, me sister and a brother, to love one another.
Performance encore, Mr. Brazis will sing the memorable Cadman love song, At Dawning.
When the dawn flames in the sky, I love you. When the birdlings wake and cry,
Chicago Theater of the Air has presented the career performance of baritone Allgird Brazis. Your letters and postcards will reach us care of the Mutual Broadcasting System, Chicago 11, Illinois. There are five coveted prizes awaiting the young artists who receive your greatest response. May we ask your cooperation, please? Carr, the chorus and the orchestra in the great Chicago Theater of the Air finale. Highlights from Thinian's Rainbow. By Marion Clare, conducted by Robert Trendler, written and directed by Jack LaFrandre. The Chicago Theater of the Air Summer Series has presented another gala hour of music and drama to be heard each week until our operetta and grand opera productions are resumed in the fall. Singing stars were Nancy Carr and Earl Wilkie, and our career performance guest was Algird Braces. Dramatic interpretations were by Marion Clare and yours truly, Everett Clark. Featured speaker of the evening was Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune. May we extend our congratulations this evening to our lovely star, Miss Nancy Carr, who is to become a bride 2 days from now.
The most fortunate groom-to-be is Leonard Keller, noted musician of Chicago, who will participate as an important adjunct of what we consider as the perfect wedding of the muses. We wish the best of everything, musically and otherwise, to Nancy Carr and Leonard Keller. Chicago Theater of the Air summer series will continue with singing stars Earl Wilkie, Bruce Foote, and Ruth Slater. Our career performance guest will be soprano Joyce Homier. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.